Welcome to the Hot Potato Food and Beverage Impact Talk podcast, where we explore the exciting world of how sustainability is revolutionizing business practices in the food and beverage industry worldwide. I'm your host, Markus Linder, co-founder and CEO of Inoco. Today we have Raphael Fellmer, the co-founder of FoodSharing.de and the Berlin impact startup Surplus, which is making food saving mainstream through a convenient online shop. Since 2009, he has been tackling food waste and lived for 5 years in a money strike to create awareness about the up to 50% food waste in the EU. In this episode, we'll explore the topic of how Surplus takes a stand against food waste. Thank you, Raphael, for joining us today.
Yeah, hi, Markus. Thank you for taking time for this, for me, hottest topic on ethical and as well on a humane and ecological level. It's a big challenge and looking forward to talk about it. And thank you for joining in wherever you are in the world.
Excited to have you as a guest today. First of all, let me start with the first question. Can you tell our audience a bit more about yourself and about your background, and especially share with us what sparked your interest in sustainability?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. I could talk now for 3 hours, but we have less time, so I will make it brief. When I was a child, at age of 7, I found out that we actually have people on this planet living who are starving, and I was not aware of it before. And there, my vision started to grow to create a world where every human being has enough food to eat. So this is like my number one mission to accomplish here on this planet, and I cannot accomplish it by myself. This is a huge team effort of humanity, actually. And then I was at school, born and raised in Berlin. I have two lovely brothers, and my parents supported me. I went out into the world, traveled a lot, flew around. I emitted a lot of CO2 emissions, I have to say, because I was not aware that actually when you fly, that it has 24 hours of flying emits twice as much CO2 emissions per person in the airplane as you're supposed to emit per year right now, if you want to believe the Paris Climate Agreement from 2017. Then in 2009, two people, friends, invited me to their weddings in Mexico. So I thought this as a sign of destiny. In German, destiny is called Schicksal. So Schicken means to send. So I believe everything what comes to me is meant to be. So sometimes also we have hard destiny moments. We lose a job, somebody dies, we get a sickness or whatever. But I believe that everything is for something, and to make the best out of it. And then it was 2009, and I checked the airplanes and I was about to buy a ticket. And then I was like, no, stop. I really need to find out how much I'm emitting here, because I want to save the world and reduce my carbon footprint. And then there was no way of flying, because it was 5 tons for the flight to Mexico and back. And we are right now at 12 tons in Germany per year, which we emit. So I was like, no, I need to find a third way. There must be a third way. If Columbus did it 500 years ago, I can find a way to go to Mexico without an airplane. So I went in 2010 with two friends all over Europe, Africa, crossing the Atlantic Ocean with sailing boats to Brazil and then all the way up to Mexico. And I did this whole journey without money. I did it without buying anything. We were saving food, because I found out, hey, we waste between 30 to 50%, depending on the country, of food. And we could feed all hungry people 3 times over. And that 10% at least of all global greenhouse gases are coming from food waste. So I was like, wow, I need to create awareness for this and find out, is this really true? Do we throw so much food away? And then, this journey changed my life. I started a moneyless life, or I called it money strike. So I erased my bank account, and I got completely free of money, also in my head. I turned back to Berlin. My wife and myself, we got our first child, and then we got a second child. And I was still living without money. My wife was not 100% strict, but maybe living with 100 euro, 50 euro per month. So we're using all material what we could find to live without money. And for sure, what we all need is food. So I was dumpster diving and getting into the bins, taking the food out. And I was like shocked, like so much food is throwing away by supermarkets, bakeries. That's insane. And I really felt I need to do something about it. This is such a hot topic and nobody is talking in school about it. Nobody is talking in politicians. The politicians are not talking about it. The industry is not talking about it. I mean, that was 13 years ago. Now things have changed a little bit, fortunately. But at this time, I was like, hey, I need to wake up the people and tell them, hey, we are all part of the problem because 50% of food waste is happening actually in our homes. So we are all part of the problem and can or should be part of the solution. Use our senses. And then I started the food sharing movement, which you mentioned, which is today the biggest movement tackling food waste on a voluntary level European-wide. We have 600,000 people who save food through food sharing, mainly in the DACH region, Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. And then after doing this, scaling it up, we are now at 14,000 supermarkets where we save food with food sharing. I was like, hey, I did it now 5.5 years without money. I've talked to 800 different television, radio channels, magazines, and everything. So I reached millions of people. I now need to take care of my family to create stability. So I stopped the money strike. I wrote a book as well about it. I made many talks, keynotes, etc. And then I was like ready to create a job for myself where I'm completely aligned with my value system, which is make food saving mainstream. So since 2017, when I founded Surplus together with a good friend, I was all about make food saving or bring it into the middle of the society, first with stores. We closed them all down, and today food saving is taking place at Surplus only online. So people can shop when they live in Germany on our website. Food, they save 35% of money compared to the normal prices. And we enable one meal together with Welthungerhilfe. It's a huge NGO with a zero hunger goal as well. In Burundi, so 500,000 of meals we created or we provided there in the poorest country of the world where they earn $280 per year, which is also crazy that this is happening. But yeah, I wanted to not only raise awareness here in Germany and enable the people to be part of the solution, but also to look there where help is needed the most. And this is children who definitely cannot, it's not their fault that they're starving. Yeah, this in a nutshell.
Wow, what an inspiring story. Very, very cool, the path that you took here. Maybe can you share a bit more what led you to then come up with the idea for Surplus and really ultimately what triggered that choice to really create an online-only supermarket with the primary focus on rescuing food?
I had like always the vision to let's treat other people as I would like to be treated by other people. So to try to be with humans, I'm vegan since 2010 as well, to treat other living beings like I want to be treated. Maybe simple, but for me, very important part of my value system. For sure, this is not easy. And sometimes I don't manage to live to my values, but I'm always thriving to it. And then after living so many years without money, and my wife was always supportive, always helped me and also opened up my heart and my mind to see, you know, creating a change without money is, I think, even harder than creating a change with money. And Greta Thunberg, for sure, she's just like the superstar. I don't know if anybody will exceed her level of people which she involved within several years. Just that's just like amazing and a worldwide impact. But yeah, so to change the world without money is possible, but it's also sometimes hard. And especially when you want to do it full time, you know, I was living without money, but all the people at food sharing, some were working 20 hours, 30 hours, some even 60, 80 hours per week and not having any salary. And you can do this for a certain time when you have some savings or you have a partner who pays the bills. But it's an exclusive circle of people who can and want to live this way. And so I was more like, hey, I know so many people who want to tackle food waste, but they don't have the time to go at 8 o'clock in the evening to a bakery and take home 3 big bags full of bread and then share it with your neighbors or give it to poor people on the street or eat it yourself, whatever. At food chain, you're not allowed to sell it, but it needs to be eaten. So you'd have to take care. So I realized when I was starting my own surplus journey before we actually opened the supermarket or the online shop, you know, we don't have time to do this work. And so the name surplus is surplus in French, or surplus, or more than we need, actually. And we write it with like the sir, like the butler. So Sir Richard Branson, now it's surplus. And the sir is kind of the symbol of that we are delivering a service. So it's this butler who brings the plus, what is leftovers, but still in perfect conditions, because 80% of our products are not even past the expiration date or past the best before date. So the idea was to create something where I can pay for the rent, pay for the school, pay for the kids' music classes, and to pay for vacations and pay for the food which we cannot save on my own. And I wanted as well to enable other human beings who are passionate about our world and want to save food to enable them to work on something where their vocation, where their heart is calling them. And to live from it. And therefore, I'm very happy. I mean, we got some million euros in funding. We're about to raise our Series A now. And it's really tremendously beautiful as well to have been able for the last 6 years to provide people with money as well for their great work and enable them to do something what is fulfilling to them and what makes sense on an ethical and on an environmental perspective.
Yeah, and ultimately, one important dimension of sustainability is also economic sustainability. And I agree with you that a model that, you know, only works for a certain period of time for certain people is just not sustainable from an economic point of view. So I can totally relate to your decision to really try to find a proper business model to do what you really strive for and what you really care about. And I think a business model is also the only way to scale such kind of solutions. So I totally relate, can totally relate to that. Maybe you can share some common misconceptions or myths about food waste that need to be debunked.
It's lovely that you say debunked. Yeah, I think I will start with a classic one. A lot of investors that ask us, is the market potential really so high? Because we have a total addressable market, if you just want to look at food waste in the EU, of 130 billion. And they're like, wow, is this really so big? And we're like, yeah, I mean, you can check the numbers. In the US, the biggest competitors, I see them more as partners in crime, they make almost $1 billion in revenue per year already with saving food. And so a lot of people, especially business people, they cannot really grasp it. They cannot really believe it, that there's actually so much food thrown away. And it's funny because when people think about food waste, they think about supermarkets, that supermarket throw away food. And yes, that's the case and that happens. But if you look at the entire 100% of food which is wasted in Germany and most other European countries, only a fraction, meaning depending on the statistics, it's 2, 3, some say 5%, which is thrown at supermarket level into the trash. And the food banks, especially the German Tafel, is very active, saving almost 300,000 tons of food every year. And they are basically saving at supermarkets. And with food sharing now, we are also helping them when there's smaller supermarkets, bakeries, etc. But the other debunked or misconception is that food waste is not happening along the entire value chain. So looking at fruited vegetables, for example, fresh produce, between 10 to 50% of what has been grown is not even harvested. Because color, size, overproduction, whatever kind of beauty standards not met, etc. So this is just the first step along the value chain. Then it goes to maybe a wholesaler, a producer, then a logistician, then it comes to a central storage warehouse. And then at the end, it goes into the shelves of the supermarket. And then from there, it goes into a home. So there are so many steps along this supply chain or value chain. And if you calculate, hey, that on each step, some percentage is thrown away, then we end up, most of it is thrown away at home. So we are all the biggest problem, let's say, but we need to tackle food waste on all levels. We have the United Nations, which everybody is pretty much familiar with it, and we have the SDGs, and we have a goal since 2017, which the European Union signed up for, Germany signed up for it, is to reduce food waste by 50% until 2030. So time is running, and the 6.5 years which are left is nothing. So right now, there was not much actually what have been done by politicians. They talk about, voluntary commitments and, hey, let's please reduce it. It's not going to work like this. They give a prize away in Germany every year. That's not enough. I believe you need to invest on a European level billions, and in Germany at least hundreds of million euros per year, to have the education and to have dedicated very good people to implement this, because this is not just happening overnight by saying some goals and giving an interview. This is a crucial, because we are so rich to throw away 300 euro per person in Germany, 80 kilograms. Because we are, it doesn't matter for us, 300 euro is nothing for most households per person to throw away. And therefore, food is so cheap that we lost kind of the value for food. And in German, the word Lebensmittel means to live. And so since we are now a supermarket generation, most people, they haven't worked on the fields. They haven't worked in a garden to grow a potato, a cucumber, or corn or whatever, and to see how much work this is actually to get your bread on the table, that we don't have this relation anymore to the food. And we need to create this relation again, and to not do it from a, that I'm throwing away 300 euros. It's more about, we only have this one planet, and this planet has planetary boundaries. So if every human would live as the Germans or the Europeans, we would need three other planets, and we don't have them in this universe. And we should also stick to this one amazing planet we have and respect it and love it and treat it with care.
Yeah, it's a great point that you're bringing up, and part of the problem on so many aspects that we kind of, to a certain point, there was some kind of connection between the money we had to pay to get something and the damage it caused somewhere else. But now there's a complete disconnect, because we believe, okay, as long as we can afford it, we can have it. And we don't have the negative externalities priced in, which just means we just go and spend our money on it and don't think about the consequences. And that really makes it so difficult to tackle challenges like food waste, like the climate crisis, the biodiversity crisis. It's in every aspect the same, that globalization of our economies basically led to a point where we have zero visibility in terms of what our purchasing decisions are causing on the other end of the planet, for people, for nature, for animal, and totally also true for food waste. How does food waste impact the environment, and how does it contribute to climate change? What is wrong with our current system? Can you share some insights on that?
I think, first of all, we kind of got a little bit what I said, disconnected from the planet, disconnected from the earth, disconnected of our impact we have on the planet when we buy something. So humans, you can actually basically, if you want, live in a house and everything comes to your house. You don't need to talk to people. You don't need to talk to your neighbors. You don't need to talk to your parents, to your friends. So if you want, you can live by yourself. But this is not making us happy. And we became this generation. I'm now almost 40 years on this amazing planet here. And we became this generation who has everything. There was no, like, we are so rich, we can fly everywhere. We have a passport which allows us to go to almost all countries. We have free education even. I mean, they're even paying you or helping you in Europe in certain countries when you study. I mean, we are just like paradise. And on this way, I think we lost a little bit track to where we are coming from, and that we are very much related to nature and that we are depending on nature. We talk often about, hey, let's save the planet, let's protect the environment. And that's true, but the environment came along for billions of years very well without us, and will in the future. One day we'll be gone, probably. And to see that it's us, we are depending on this ecosystem, which is fragile. And because, yeah, the planet, there were always species coming and going and coming and going. But we need this certain kind of temperature. And the planet will adapt and the ecosystem will adapt. But to really to see, yeah, it's more about being kind of selfish as well. When you say, let's protect the planet, means let's protect us, let's save us. Because when now it's getting hotter here in summer, and then when it gets 10 degrees hotter, we will have many people who die because of the heat, and it will be hard to have agriculture here. And there are hundreds of millions of people who are already affected by climate change and fleeing of their countries because there's no water, or there are droughts, or there are floods, or like it's all happening already. And if we don't really take it serious that we are part of this problem, we cannot always say, yeah, it's the richers, it's the US Americans, and yeah, Qatar and Kuwait, they have a bigger carbon footprint, but that's not helpful. I mean, you can always finger point to somebody who is emitting more CO2 emissions, but really I think we should start with our own life and to see what we can do. And since we got so disconnected to actually the source of food, the land, and to see as well, also only talking about meat. In Germany, I have many friends who eat meat, but it's not because they decided one day and woke up and said like, hey, I think I should kill an animal and eat the animal. They're just buying it in a supermarket in a plastic covered thing with no blood, and they just put it in the pan and eat it. But most of my friends, they would not even be able to kill an animal, and not even a bigger one, maybe a little one. And if you are dying and you're starving, I think we will pretty much all be able to kill a cow. I mean, that's our DNA, but we also evolved as humans. And so I really believe that, yes, we need to not only think of the others and future generations, also for ourselves, what can we do? Because it feels also better to treat others and other humans and other beings with respect, and to see, hey, yeah, for sure, I get it that people need to kill an ice bear or a robber, I don't know, this other animals, fishes, if you're living on an island, or kill even a horse when you're living somewhere where there's nothing else which you can eat. That's completely okay. But we as a supermarket generation, we have the choice. And you are all about CO2 emissions on the product. So to make the people as well realize what is the tremendous impact on water, on the soil, maybe also on workers, and to really, because we are so disconnected that people just don't know. And in German, there's the saying, because they don't know what they do, denn sie wissen nicht, was sie tun. And it's just so true, because we don't know, because the world got so complex, so big, and also so fast, and you have to take so many decisions that people are just a little bit overwhelmed sometimes of seeing, oh God, where do I get my clothes? Where do I put my money? And there's a sustainable bank account. Okay, it's interesting, but oh, that's so complicated to change. And oh, there's a green supplier of energy, like renewable energy, that exists. Oh yeah, does the energy still come when I change? So even if we have almost all offers today, you can get organic cotton, you can get clothes out of reused clothes, you have surplus as an online shop for food. But to change as well the behavior of people takes time. And 20 years ago, when somebody bought a book on Amazon, people were like, what? You're buying a book online? Are you crazy? There's a bookstore. Like, why should I do this? And today it's the other way around. So I believe that we are in the biggest transformation which humanity have ever seen. We have more people now educated, more people able to read, more people able to study, more people able to make their business, because it doesn't cost millions now to set up an online shop or whatever. And we have AI even as a super mentor. We have so many possibilities. So I think we are on the edge, even if CO2 emissions have been rising for the last decades. I think we are already mentally over this point that, hey, we need to change something. For sure, there are some people who still don't want to do it and don't see the reason or the cause for climate change and destruction of our habitat in us. And it's always easy to say, yeah, it's the sun and it's somewhere else and I cannot do anything about it. But to also to see now the power which lays with each one of us and to see, hey, you can be Jeff Bezos by changing the world and creating a super efficient online whatever whole market. And you can also create some a Tesla, a renewable energy car, or a car which can be filled with renewable energies. And 20 years ago, people were laughing about this. And even 10 years ago, and even, I don't know if it was 5 or 7 years, Tesla was in a deep crisis. And there was a question, do they gonna survive? And I think BMW or another big German car manager, they were so stupid because they were selling their stocks because they didn't believe. And so they were stupid, and even Yahoo could buy Google for $1 billion, and they didn't do it because they were stupid. And so sometimes I believe we are stupid as humans, but that we are getting smarter. Slowly we are getting smarter, and the awareness that we need to change is rising rapidly. And so it's just a question of time when it's not cool anymore to order a steak. I'm very sure that this time will come.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I need to confess, we obviously need to be careful because probably you and I live very much in a bubble. And I just on that weekend, on this weekend, had the opportunity to get out of my bubble because we spent the weekend like in the Alps with my family, went to a restaurant. First of all, had really hard time to find any vegetarian options on the menu. Second, had all those people sitting around us eating those, yeah, you know, like probably mass animal factory based steaks and schnitzel and so on. And my wife was looking at me and asking me, hey, you know, she was like, kind of, does nobody, none of these people think about what they're doing here? Yeah, so I think we still have a long way to go. But yeah, that's life. And if it wouldn't be hard, it wouldn't take us. So, but I'm with you that the change is coming. And yeah, things are moving at least very fast into the right direction. Can you maybe tell us a bit more about how Surplus differentiates itself from traditional supermarkets or other food waste initiatives?
Yeah, sure. I will just say something which concerning the schnitzel eaters. You know, and then I will talk about Surplus with pleasure. but, you know, it's a, goes a little bit back to the story of why do 500 million people in India don't eat meat? Are they better humans? Do they have a better DNA? No. They're just herd animals as we are herd animals here. It's about following the masses. That's why people do what they do. It's because their neighbors is doing, their parents were doing it. And my parents, they were not killing animals and putting it on the plate, but they were cooking dead animals and putting it on the plate, and I was eating it, and I was eating fish, and we went to McDonald's and eat the animals there, and it's just culture. So culture is something which we, it's traditions, and when we pass it over to the next generation, and that's why I find it so fascinating that we are in this huge transformation where even though most people who are now vegetarians, and they're maybe 5, maybe 10%, nobody knows exactly in Germany, and in most other European countries it's similar, who turned vegetarian not because they had to, not because there were a scarcity of animals, but because of a conscious choice. And you all heard about probably this point of no return, when you reach 15, 17 critical mass, sometimes as 20%, and then something happens in the society. And since most people are this herd animals, they just run wherever everybody runs. And if some crazy dude comes to say, hey, we are in a war against this country, then hey, they just all follow this dude and get even killed on it. Now there's a waking that more and more people feel like, no, even if I got taught like this, this is my culture. Culture is flexible and I can change, transform the culture, transform business. Business is transforming rapidly right now. Not only more impact investing is happening, but also people demand sustainable choices. And employees, Generation Z, they don't want to work 80 hours anymore. So we are in a change on all levels. And now going back to your question of how surplus differentiate. So first of all, we are in a business where we help businesses. So we are actually kind of a, we could call it as well, a B2B player, because we are helping 900 until today, 900 different companies who produce food, who deal with food, whatever. And we still pay them for their food. When they dispose, pay the disposal cost normally, they have to pay to get rid of the food. So we help businesses in the first time, but we help as well our customers, because they save money and do good and feel good about it. And then the difference is that a normal online grocery orders the food which you can sell the best with the best margins, kind of easy. The difference is that we don't order food. We don't go somewhere and say, hey, this product looks nice, this, I think this we could sell as well easily. No, we always have to source it. So every product which goes into our online shop is properly sourced, meaning a supplier called us, sent us an email, we were bargaining about the price, about the quantities, and when. So there's a lot of change management the whole time of our inventory. So right now, last year, when we started to focus on the online shop, we had a 1.5% conversion rate. So meaning from 1,000 people, 15 people bought something. Right now we are at 5% conversion rate, which is almost Zalando niveau, I guess. Because we are really focusing on to get better products, more products, and the right products. To optimize the webshop as well, do email marketing. We are a purpose-driven laugh brand, you can name it like this. A million of people know us. We have famous ambassadors who are actors like Esther Schweins and Hannes Jänicke. So people who, at least in the German-speaking countries, are known for their commitment to make this world a better place. And I think the differentiation is as well, you know, when you go to a normal supermarket, maybe you have your favorite brands. So it's not only buying a chocolate, you buy a Milka chocolate or a Lindt chocolate. And the same goes for all the other products. So a lot of people, they have their favorite brands, which they tend to buy. And in our we have right now 350 going to 500 SKUs. Right now we have mostly only safe food, so the food which we sell, we buy it from these producers, wholesalers, and central storages at a discount, and we sell it as well as a discount to the customers. And then when we made a deal and the food comes to us, it is sold within 4 weeks as an average, and then the food is gone, and sometimes we never get this product back. Sometimes it we play Alpro, Vegans, and Share are some of the bigger players which we are working together. We are going now more mainstream, so from dark green to the middle of the society, Coca-Cola, meat as well has a big ecological footprint, so it's also worth to save it for the people who still follow their culture to eat meat, and can be delicious as well. And we don't want to be dogmatic. And we want to enable the people to buy all food. And since some foods it's really hard to save them. May it be oil, may it be salt. And so some basic staples we will also now sell, even though they are not saved, because I learned the last years the hard way. Saving the world is what everybody wants, but it needs to be, if possible, cheaper, and it needs to be at least as convenient as the normal thing. So we want to enable the people when they go to our shop and there's no saved olive oil, that they know there's always an olive oil and that there's always salt and there's always pasta. So all these basic things, and these are not only 5 to 10 products, we will have between 50 to 100 products at the end of the year, which are hard to save and to have them in a constant supply. And the same in the US, the big players, they only also have 50% of their products which are saved. And the rest of the products are normal ones, some organic, some non-organic. So to have one cheap and one more high quality organic option. And this is actually to copy the best and to do it here. And what we are starting now in end of August, September, is to have a customizable subscription model. So right now, 40% of our revenue is coming through subscription. So you have a pre-designed box by us, and you get this box as 1,000 other customers. So not all these customers have the same taste. And therefore, we offer the customers now to give their preferences, how many household members are there, the frequency, when do they want to get the box, once a month, once a week. And then do you like products with sugar? Do you like alcohol, maybe gluten-free, organic, vegan, superfood, not muesli? So you just takes less than a minute to give your preferences. And then we choose from the current product stock, which we have in our online shop. We design, or the computer is doing it. It's not yet AI. It's more like a machine learning. It provides you, Marcus, for you and your family, the perfect box. And then you can still add products to the basket or kick products out. And the machine is learning when you kick out chia seeds, for example, because you're like, hey, I don't eat this. And so this is, I think, a game changer from going saving money into being convenient and saving time as well, and to really deliver what customers want.
Cool. Yeah. Convenience is absolutely key.
King. Totally. And queen. King. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to be convenient, else you won't be able to scale. So that's, I think, a very, very smart move. Obviously, from an Inoko perspective, I'm super curious how Surplus basically measures the impact of, in terms of, you know, reducing food waste, CO2 emissions, water usage. How do you do that today?
Yeah, we need to get better on this. Maybe we partner up as well. We never know. I think would be interesting for us, and as well interesting for our customers to not only see the product and the price and how much they can save, but also to see the environmental impact which they are saving, because it's not about you're emitting this, you're saving this. So it's also maybe we would be a special customer for you. Mm-hmm. And then also to put it together. So how much in this year you saved of CO2 emissions? Okay. And then you put it in perspective. How many kilometers is this? Or how many hours with an airplane is this? So to give people as well an idea of the dimension of what they're doing. And then to see as well how much maybe my city or my region or the whole country saved. So we are a big team. Surplus is a kind of a movement as well of people who believe we can behave different with our resources in a better, smarter, more efficient way. Because 50% food waste, you can also say we have 50% inefficiency along the supply chain. So it's terrible, and it's still economically worth it. That's why we need to change it. And then we calculate it very easily. We just have an average. That's the same what Too Good To Go is doing and many other food saving businesses. We just say as an average 2.5 kilograms of CO2 emissions per kilogram of food. So for sure, some products, their 100 gram is already, the impact is 2.5. So maybe beef, dry meat, beef jerky, to 100 grams is more than probably 2.5 kilograms of CO2 emissions. But then there are others where 1 kilo is more or less. So it really depends, you know, about how different the carbon footprint is from each product. And so we just take this average. And I also have the urge to really show our investors and our customers and therefore the society our impact, which we are creating together, because in Surplus, we are saving these resources. And to get as well, because most people don't know actually how much carbon footprint they're emitting, and especially not how much is it this product. So I think it's very good to have greatest transparency, and through this knowledge to enable the customers as well to make a wiser choice. And maybe when they buy beef jerky in our shop, they really save a lot of CO2 emissions, yes, but maybe we don't have always beef jerky available. And then next time when they go to a normal store, they think twice because they think, wow, beef jerky, that's massive what I have been emitting, or what I would emit now if I buy this product. So I hope really my vision is with Inoco or without, but that one day we have CO2 tech plus water and maybe also the social impact on each price tag, online and offline. And then through this awareness, through this transparency, people will make wiser, better, more sustainable and social choices. So thank you, Marcus, and your team for what you're doing there. I'm very proud and looking forward for further discussions.
I think you were very aligned in terms of the vision and where we're heading. Looking at the time, I have one last question for you. Would you? What's your all-time favorite potato recipe? So, what's your favorite dish that contains potatoes?
Very easy. My wife is from Mallorca, and tortilla de patata. Vegan one for sure.
Nice, that sounds great. Rafael, thank you very much for joining us today for at our Hot Potato Food and Beverage Impact Talk. That's all for today, everyone. Remember to stay sustainable and tune in for the next episode. Thank you very much, Rafael.
Thank you, Marcus. And enjoy saving the world. Enjoy changing yourself. It is just really healthy. And it needs to be fun as well to save the world. I think then we can proceed faster. So thank you, Marcus, for your time, and you all out there for listening.
Inoco is an AI-powered sustainability solution that empowers retailers, F&B brands, and suppliers to analyze and improve the impact of their products throughout their entire value chain. With in-depth assessments and optimization tools, Inoco helps businesses make data-driven decisions to drive success in sustainability. If you would like to know more about us, why not follow us on social media? Find us on LinkedIn by simply searching for Inoco, or follow the link in this episode's notes. You can also email us directly at hello@inoco.com.